Amen. Just so Ken, my driver, wakes up. I think he's supposed to pick me up at 2:30 in the morning to get out of here. But I tell you, it's just a joy. There's no need for me to even attempt to tell you how much I love you and appreciate you and your spirit, because I could never do that. I just want you to know, and I just want you to feel that. I don't have words to explain it. I just want you to feel it. But I do love you very, very much. All of you. And I have been blessed by all of you, the ministers, men, women of God, again this year. Your president, Brother Eastman, I know one of the sweetest spirits that there is in the kingdom of God. And I appreciate him and his wife and all of you, the board, whoever's responsible in having me this year. I want you to know I appreciate the opportunity to come, and I pray God continue to bless in the camp meeting this year and in the years ahead. I want to say that today some brother commended me, not on my preaching. I trust you. Somebody's enjoyed that. Many of you have. But a brother this morning commended me on the fact that I had made every service of the meeting since I'd been here. He's, you know, he mentioned that a lot of times the night speakers only made the night services. Well, I certainly don't have any criticism for them. Maybe they, you know, tired, worn out, need to rest. But I made the day services, all of them, because I was looking for something for me, for my spirit. And I could promise you that I was fed in that morning service. Brother Frazier preached to me. Fed my heart with the Word of God. I got notes, my heavenly days, my church just get ready, that's all I know. Amen. But I was very blessed, Brother Frazier's ministry, and the afternoon services, all of those that ministered, blessed my heart, each one of them. I'm telling you, this afternoon, and I make no exaggeration, Brother Ben, blessed my heart. To see that young man ministering with the anointing and with a passion. I do hope the Lord will let me live a few more years. In fact, I'd like to go in the rapture. But I feel better now knowing that if I was to leave, there's still young men preaching this gospel with power, with passion, and with the anointing. And Brother Ben, you touched me this evening. And I appreciate you, man. And I felt like this afternoon, as this young man preached, that if he'll walk humbly with God and pray and seek God and give God all the glory, God will use you, son. God will use you. Not only that, but all of them. The cooks, the food, I'm telling you, I just can't hardly wait to get home, get on the scale, see how much weight I've gained. I did notice I'm over a notch in my belt here. And you've been such a great crowd to preach to. All of you. And I love you very much. And these men of God, women of God, that have testified, there's not one pastor, minister, evangelist, anybody's testified that has not touched my heart and blessed my heart. That testimony of, you know, you go to the bank, they're going to foreclose on what you owe, and you go in there and say, if you'd loan me more money, I could pay you. Man, I'm telling you, I'm encouraged. I think I'm going to see my banker, Brother Heath. God is faithful when you know you're in the will of God. And I'm going to get right into the message, but just give me just a moment. I just feel like testifying. You know, I'm one of those long-winded preachers. And there's a benefit. Those 30-minute boys, they have to get in this pulpit, get right in their message, and get through, or they'll run over their 30 minutes. But us long-winded preachers going to preach till we give out anyhow. It don't matter. I mean, we just talk the way we want to. We just say amen. We moved into a new sanctuary at our church in 2002. We were discussing building that building. I felt led of God that it was time. The Lord had blessed us. I'd been there several years. And we were restricted in our growth because of the size of our building. I called my board together and said, men, it's time to build. God wants us to build. Well, you know, I got good men on my board. They, a couple of them, very conservative when it comes to money. We, you know, of course, we're going to have to borrow money. One of them looked at me and said, I'm not against building. I just don't think we can pay for it. Well, I mean, what else you got to? How else you got to feel to be against it? I'm not against it. I just don't think we can pay for it. But this is what he said. He looked at me and said, "I don't think we can afford it. I don't think we can pay for it. But if you say it's the will of God, I'll vote for it." Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the bottom line: is to know the will of God. And I said, "Well, brother, I feel like it's the will of God." He said, then I'll vote for it. And we built a church. Amen. May of 2002, we built, moved into that church. We had no idea that we had a Hurricane Katrina going to hit us a couple years later. But we did know God gave us a financial miracle. We didn't know why. We moved in that church May of 2002. 15 months later, the debt was totally paid. To God be the glory. Brother Heath, that same board member come to me and said, I'm ashamed of myself. I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed. I said, what are you ashamed of? He said, I doubted God. I didn't believe we could do it. 15 months later, that note's paid. The lot next to us came up for sale. 1.26 acres. We needed the land desperately. Folks that had it for sale knew we needed it. And so they sold it to us for $99,600. But we needed it. So we went back to the bank. We borrowed more money. Less than a year later, that note was paid. We were just shocked. Here we are in just a little over 2 years, we paid for a building. And not only did we give $99,600 of land, we spent $40,000 on dirt work on that piece. We had a $140,000 piece of property and a building paid for in less than 2 years, less about a year and a half. We're just amazed. We're flat. We don't know what's going on. And God is helping us. And then Hurricane Katrina came. And when that old girl got through with us, she did a number on us. And we had to build another building. The one we built in 2002 was not damaged, but the other building on the property where our was damaged, so we had to be. So listen. Then we knew. We didn't know, but God knew that we were going to have to build another building, and so He paid off everything else for us, where when that came, we'd be ready to start and build it. Isn't God faithful? Amen. God is faithful. Because we would have still had those two debts hanging over us, then we would have just been sunk. We'd have just been there. We couldn't have went to, you know. But God's faithful. And I'm telling you that, our brothers, and I want to encourage somebody. Know the mind of God. Know the will of God. Walk in that. And I can tell you, God will uphold His end of the bargain every time. Can you give Him a hand clap of praise? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You do pray for us. Pray for me as a goal. I got to get in. Got services this weekend. There at home. Be home a couple of weeks. And we're right back in camp meeting again. This time down in Alabama. And then I think there's 2 weeks between that and the next one. I just want to do the will of God. That's all. I thank you for your offering. I don't have any ambitions of this world other than to do the will of God. And I'm going to do my best. Listen, we're just here. This is just our dressing room. You do everything you can for God in this life, and then you see what happens to you in that next life. I want us tonight in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and then we're going to Revelation, chapter 20. And tonight we're literally going to preach from Genesis to Revelation. It's what old time country preacher said years ago. We're going to preach from generations to revolutions tonight. Amen. I appreciate your patience last night as I was having a terrible time with my voice, but it's better tonight. I don't know the change in weather. I come from the deep south, just north of the Gulf Coast, where it's 95, 98 degrees, and come up here in this weather. Dear Lord, I think that might have, but the Lord's helped us.
Amen.
But I appreciate you last night, your patience. God helped us. Holy Ghost came through, didn't he? And our young brother, right, raise your hand, brother, right there, I just want you to know I love you, son. I like to beat him to death last night. We put that word of God in attack mode and like to beat that boy. Woo! But I appreciate his good spirit. Father in heaven, it's been wonderful to be here with your people. And I know when I leave here early in the morning, you're not going to leave. I pray, God, that the greatest services of this camp meeting are yet to come. God, I'm asking you to just continue to bless and anoint and move with the power of the Holy Ghost. But I do ask you to move tonight. 3 nights, Lord, I've stood in this pulpit and felt the anointing of your Spirit. And I give you praise for that. But tonight's another night. One more time, God, would you anoint me? And let me preach the Word of God to this people. Anoint these ears to hear, hearts to receive. Thank you, Lord, for what we feel in this house. We give you praise for everything you're doing in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Genesis chapter 3, I want us to read verses 14 and 15. And then we're going to Revelation chapter 20. We have several other portions of Scripture that we'll read to you through the course of the message, the Lord willing, but this will get us started. Genesis 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, listen. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, her seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I want to read that again. I want you to hear it. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Seed of the woman, seed of Satan. it, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Revelation chapter 20, if you've got that ready already, we're going to read there. Revelation chapter 20, go read verses 1 and 2. John said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Verse 3 goes on to say, and he cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up. I want to preach to you tonight right out of my heart. I want you to hear me. I want to preach to you on the end time Christ and the snake or the serpent that became a dragon. The serpent that became a dragon and of the end time Christ. I believe tonight with all of my heart, we've said quite a bit about it already in the three previous nights, that we are living in the last days. I'm not the only one that said that. Others have said it. And I believe that we are in agreement with that. And somebody even in the service tonight said that they're of the opinion we're living in the last of the last days. If we're living in the last days, then we are God's end time prophets and end time messengers. Brother Frazier mentioned the message last night that some of you have heard that we preached over in Manchester, Connecticut in the camp meeting there in May. Ministers of destiny. And I believe that. The ministers of destiny. What do you mean by that? We are the ones that are chosen by God to bring the church home to its destination. We're chosen. Isaiah chapter 60 tells us, Isaiah chapter 60, of course, verse 1 talks about darkness covering the face of the earth and gross darkness of people. We're living in that day today. We're living in an hour when the darkness of sin has covered the earth and gross darkness has covered the people. Being God's end time prophets, then it becomes our responsibility to carry the message of Jesus Christ into this present darkness. Can somebody say amen? Oh, that's exactly right. And I'm sure that if we got into theological discussions concerning the end time, there would be difference of opinion of how events will ultimately unfold. But there's one thing I believe that we for sure can agree on. All of us face the challenge and we wonder how in the world are we going to be able as leaders. We recognize the challenge before us. How can we prevail against the darkness and the sin of this hour? I speak to the preachers, the pastors, the evangelists, Sunday school teachers, moms and dads. It's got to be on your mind as it is mine. God, how do we penetrate this darkness? How, God, do we find a way to present Christ in this hour in such a way as men would receive it? The challenge of the hour is ever before us. I said, say amen. The challenge of ministering in this hour. And sometimes, as I said last night, we feel intimidated. We feel that the world has so many weapons and the world has so much to come against the church until if you're not careful, you feel insufficient and inadequate. In this hour,
which we're living, to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to experience the results and the favorable results that we so desire. But did we not tell you last night how a housewife killed a general with a mantle, with a glass of milk, with a hammer, and with a nail? I don't care how dark it gets out there. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah 6:1 said that darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But Isaiah 60:2 said, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 60:2 says this, that no matter how dark it gets in this world, Christ will always outshine that darkness. Woo! But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. This takes us in our mind to Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, where that great apostle Paul talks about the abounding of sin. You know what the word abound means? The word abound means it just grows taller and taller and taller and taller. To abound. To abound means, listen, Brother Fraser's a gardener. Oh, he's a man after my own heart. He's a gardener. You know, he showed me his grapevines, his strawberry bushes. And him and Brother Jim, there's sort of a little contest about who can get the largest strawberries. And well, I had to kind of, you know, I love them both. I love them both, and they both brought me strawberries. Caught me right in the middle of their little deal they got going. But the Lord prepared me a way of escape. I said, Brother Fraser, yours are larger. But Brother Jim, yours are sweeter. But they want those strawberry bushes to abound. You know what that means? Next year, they hope they make more strawberries than they did this year. And if they abound, they will. They're not abounding if they're decreasing. That word abound means to increase. And Paul said, Romans 5:20, that where sin did increase. Ladies and gentlemen, there are more people on drugs tonight than there's ever been. There's more people addicted to alcohol tonight than there's ever been. There are more men living with men tonight than there's ever been in America. Like, say amen. There are more babies being murdered than there's ever been, my God. Brother, sin is abounding. Sin is growing. Sin is greater now than it was in the 90s. It's greater in the 90s than it was in the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, and the 40s. Paul said sin is going to grow and grow and grow and grow. Does anybody believe Paul knew what he's talking about? But it didn't stop there. He said, grace will always outgrow sin. Amen. But where sin did abound, or where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So I said, I wish I could live in Grandma's day. She didn't have all the temptations that we have. If you have more temptations than Grandma had, then you have more grace available to you than what Grandma had. Because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, I want to show you tonight from the Word of God that the progressive revelation of sin and the progressive manifestation of Satan through the Word of God. Then I want to do the same thing with Christ. The first time that we see the devil in the Word of God, now we know that he existed before this. Jesus told his disciples, I beheld Satan as lightning cast from heaven, but that's way back in there. That's for mine, no time. You can just believe that. Amen. But the first time we see a picture of Satan in the Word of God, you know what he is? Just a little old garden snake.
Come on. Come on, amen.
Just a little old garden snake. That's all he is. He's not even a timber rattler. Y'all have those around here? He's not a water moccasin. No, he's just a little old bitty garden snake. If I had to imagine in my mind what he was, you know, little old green snake that you put. Oh, that's all he was. And the only weapon he had was an old split tongue that he could come out there and talk with. My God, save him. Just a little old garden snake, that's it. That's all the devil there is in the world. That's all the manifestation there is. But let me show you something. We'll just preach it together. My God, let's do this. But you know what the first word picture of Christ is in your Bible? The first word picture of the devil, just a little snake in a garden. The first word picture of Christ, the first description we get of Christ, he is the seed of a woman. I know God said, let us make man. I know Christ was there and create. I know all that. But the first word picture you get of Christ in the Bible says he was the seed of a woman. But you don't need much Jesus when all you got's one snake and two people.
Amen. Come on.
The seed of a woman. But you don't need a lot of Jesus when you just got two people and one little garden snake to deal with. It's not God. Say amen. But how many did that brother say? What's the population of the world tonight? 2 billion or three, if not maybe four. Somewhere in there. I mean, we're having evangelistic service. You don't have to get it all just right. How many? 7 billion people. I want to tell you something, Brother Heath. The seed of a woman, but there's just two people and one snake. But you got 7 million people. You better have a little better manifestation of Christ than that if you're going to deal with my God. Say amen to me, somebody. And oh God. And so we start out with Satan. He's just a little garden snake. But you don't have to read very far in your Bible to realize that Satan is multiplying himself. Oh God. We get over in the book of Exodus and Moses and that stick. How many of you men wish you had one of those sticks? Was it last night an old Mo back Zippy up in the corner with that stick that she said, yeah, I'll go to Egypt. Maybe. Amen. But you get, oh, we got one little garden snake. That's all. Just one. That's the devil. That's the whole devil in the whole world. But you get over to the book of Exodus. Moses goes into Pharaoh. Aaron's holding the rod. Pharaoh said, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to let those people go. He said, watch this. Aaron, listen, I'm from the south. I don't know. Moses was from the south. He'd have said it like this. Aaron, chuck that stick down. Now, Peter, amen. Throw it down! He threw that stick down, and there's that snake a crawling. Pharaoh called for his magicians. Amen. He said, boys, you see that snake? Yeah, we see that thing. That you know 2 seconds ago, that was a stick. And that man threw it down. Now it's a snake. I want to know, can you do it? And the Bible said, each man cast his rod down. And they became a... I don't know exactly how many. I know the New Testament talks of Jannes and Jambres. We're standing Moses. There were at least 2 and maybe more. But listen, we've gone from a garden snake to multiple snakes crawling around on the palace of Pharaoh. The revelation of sin, the revelation of Satan's getting greater in the book of Numbers chapter 21. Oh, you're preaching with me now. In the book of Numbers chapter 21, when the children of Israel are in the wilderness and they murmur against God and they murmur against Moses and they said, we wish we'd have died in Egypt. All we got to eat out here. It says, my God, the Bible said that valley was full of snakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh. One little garden snake. Yeah. And now, the whole valley is full of fiery serpents. How am I going to take your time and my strength to just list everything that could be said about the increase of sin and the abounding of sin and the abounding of iniquity? But from Genesis 3 to Numbers 21, we go from one little garden snake to the whole valley is full of fiery serpents. My God, listen to me. But then we jump to the book of Revelation chapter 20. And for the sake of time and expediency, and you know what we see there? We see a dragon. My God, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to listen to me. The snake, the garden snake in Genesis becomes a dragon in Revelation chapter 20. Sin has abounded. Sin has grown. And the snake of Genesis 3 is a dragon of Revelation 20.
Mighty God.
You don't live the book of Genesis, mister. We are Revelation Christians. We are last day Christians. We're not warring against a little old bitty garden snake with a little ring around its neck and a streak down its back. We're warring against a fire-breathing, fire-spitting dragon that's terrorizing the world. So I must say to you, look what's happened to Satan and to sin. The serpent of Genesis becomes the dragon of Revelation. Preaching ahead of me, Pastor Frazier. I can see it in your eye. So what are we going to do? I tell you what we better do. That little snake's becoming dragon. Best thing we can do is just shut the church down. Turn off the light. Shut that Bible school down. I mean, we're up against such odds now. Just go home. Find your hole in the ground somewhere. Get in it. Pull the dirt in behind you. And sit there and feel sorry for yourself and moan and groan and cry. Listen. I started preaching this gospel in the 60s as a teenage boy. Man, if I knew now what I thought I knew then, I'd turn this world upside down for God. I'm a hot shot teenage preacher. I knew, brother, how the cow ate the cabbage and I didn't mind telling him.
I'm before my 20th, but I'm still a teenager. I'm pastoring a little old church up the country up there. Little old church thing's done died so many times. It's had CPR done on it so many times. They've resuscitated it so many times until finally the spiritual paramedics just gave up on it. They said, we resuscitated this thing so many times. We've done CPR so many times. Best thing to do, just let it die. And they couldn't get a preacher to go up there. They had such a reputation. I didn't know no better. They asked me if I wanted it. I said yes. I was preaching in the county jail every Sunday. Man, I'm telling you what's truth. I'm 17, 18 years old. And I'm telling those criminals how it is. We're having a time. Now I got me a real church. I got four women and one man. And he's as ornery as he could be. I grew my church 25% in the first month I got married. I had four. I got married. Now I got five. Yes, sir. Amen. One Sunday morning I got in that pulpit. My God. I had those four ladies, that one man and my wife. And I preached on adultery. Listen, it's in the Bible and I'm supposed to preach it. Hallelujah to those four ladies. My little wife. God love her. She's prettier than a pickle in a pumpkin patch. And that one old man sitting there. And I'm preaching on fornication and adultery. And wives running around on their husbands. And husbands running around on their wives. And they're sitting there looking at each other saying, who's he talking about? I'll tell you the truth. I wish ministry was as simple tonight as it was then. You get past adultery and snuff dipping, there wasn't much left to preach on. I mean, that's about it. You didn't hear me. I said, I wish ministry was as simple now as it was then. If you preached on adultery and snuff dipping, you pretty well had it covered. Every once in a while, put a little liquor drinking in there with it. They're gotten, you know, and tithe, and you pretty well have it covered. But I want to tell you something. It's not that way tonight. I said, it's not that way tonight. The enemy, hell has increased itself. The dragon, my God, say amen. The snake of the garden has become the dragon of the last days. And he's a furious adversary. But listen, we don't need to shut the lights off and go home. We don't need to close the Bible school and go home. Because I know and I grant to you that the serpent of Genesis has become the dragon of Revelation. But I want you to look what the seed of the woman has become. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah! My God, look what the seed of the woman has become!
Glory to God!
You tell me I'm defeated. When the greatest manifestation of Satan in the world was a little old garden snake. Christ is described as the seed of a woman. Now he's a dragon. But I just want to preach to you about what Christ has become. Hallelujah. Woo! My God, somebody get you. Listen, it's still victory, victory, victory in Jesus. It's still power in the blood. It's still greater. It's he that's in you than he that's in the world. I want somebody to give my God the hand clap of praise. The serpent has become the dragon. But I'm about to tell you, I'm about to show you what the seed of the woman has become.
I could have lived for God, preacher, when all the temptation in the world was to smoke rabbit tobacco. You don't know what that grows down south. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. If my strength and your patience would allow, I think we could preach all night. The snake in Exodus, it's snakes. Numbers, it's a valley full of snakes. Revelation, it's a dragon. Dragons are things of legend. In the legends of history, kings offered their daughters for reward for men that would slay the dragon. But we're not going to have time to trace the manifestation of Christ, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Darkness shall cover the face of the earth, and great darkness of people. But he said, my light is going to rise on you. So all we're going to do, we're just going to hit a couple of spots here, preach a little, just get you the gist of it, let you see where we are. I want to read to you in the Song of Solomon. That's somewhere about halfway between the Garden and Revelation, somewhere in there. And I want to show you what the seed of the woman has become by the time we get the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. If you're there, say amen. Verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Now listen, in Genesis 3 is the seed of the woman. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Listen. Listen. This is what the seed of the woman has become halfway through your Bible. My beloved, oh, I know Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, forever. I'm talking about the manifestation. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks, his hair, bushy and black as a rag. I want you to see this. I want you to get a picture of this man she's describing. His complexion is white and ruddy. That means fair, with red cheeks. Healthy. His hair is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as beds of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lily, dropped in sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a bell. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. His legs are as pillars of marble set up on sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, as excellent as the cedars. Oh, listen to this. His mouth is most sweet. Must have kissed her. Yea. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. Look what the seed of the woman has become. halfway through your Bible. A young man with a head full of bushy black hair. Eyes of love like the eyes of a dove washed in the rivers and washed in milk and fitness at. Legs like marble set on sausage and gold. Watch out, devil. I believe he's outgrowing you. But now I want you to go to Revelation with me again. This is what the seed of the woman has become in the Song of Solomon. Revelation chapter 1. This is what he has become in the last days. Started out as the seed of a woman. Sure, the serpent becomes a dragon. But look what the seed of the woman becomes. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. You remember that description from the Song of Solomon, right? Well, don't worry about it if you don't. I'm going to refresh your memory in a minute. And John said, and I turned, verse 12, to see the voice that spake to me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, the churches. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Clothed with a garment down to the foot. Girt about the paps with a golden girdle. I must stop right there for a moment. Clothed with a garment down to the foot. Girt about the paps with a golden girdle. I'd like to see the Roman soldier that could strip that off of him. To see the Roman soldier that could roll the dice to see who's going to get that golden girdle. Let me tell you something, Mr. Soldier. You're not fooling with the Christ of Calvary. This is the Christ 2,000 years after Calvary. I'd like to see the soldiers that could strip him of that robe. Listen, verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is a sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Notice with me. In Revelation 3:15, the first word picture of Christ. He is the seed of a woman. Song of Solomon chapter 5. That seed of the woman has become a young king. Oh God, whose hair is bushy and black. But in Revelation chapter 12, great God, verse, or chapter 1 rather, and verse 14, it says that bushy head of black hair is now white like wool and white as the snow. I know the snake becomes a dragon, but I want you to look what the seed of the woman has become. And somebody shout that there's still victory in Jesus. Amen. preacher, I don't understand that. You got to understand that one little garden snake, at least two snakes on Pharaoh's palace, a valley full of snakes in Numbers 21. Satan has constantly through history increased. But the Word of God says that grace has got to outgrow him. So what starts out as the seed of the woman has now become a conquering king. Not only that, but the Word of God said in chapter 5 and verse 5 of Revelation that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Come on, somebody say amen to open the book. The snake becomes a dragon, but I'm still not in trouble because the seed of the woman has become a conquering king and a raging lion. My God, would somebody give him praise? You say, but preacher, I don't understand. The Shunammite in the Song of Solomon saw him as a young man with a bushy head of black hair. John saw him as one whose hair was white like wool. In Song of Solomon chapter 5, he was a young man looking for a young lady that he could ask to be his bride. He had not yet betrothed a young lady to himself. But he's knocking on the door, sticking his hand in by the window, trying to entice a young lady to say, I will become your bride. That's that young, bushy-head, black-head man. Come on, somebody say amen.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you, in Revelation, he's not a young, black-headed guy running around out there trying to court a woman, getting her to say she'll be his wife. He is one that has found his bride. He has betrothed her to himself. He has already paid the dowry. My God, somebody say amen. My God, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, that white hair represents since the battles that he has fought and the battles that he has won to bring his bride to that wedding day. My God, save my God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like shouting tonight, devil, you're in trouble. Devil, you're in trouble. Devil, you're in trouble. Had white hair. White as wool. White as the snow. Not one of those black hairs left on that head. The end time has come. And every hair is snow white, representing the fact that he has not lost one battle. He is the conqueror. My God, come on, somebody say amen. He is the conqueror. We must go on just a little bit further. I'm encouraging somebody tonight to let you know that greater is he that he in you than he that's in the world. Brother John saw him in Revelation 1. And when John saw him, he had eyes like fire. When that Shunammite saw him halfway through the Bible, he had dove's eyes. Sweet eyes. Brother Heath, the end time Christ has got eyes like fire. He's already got his bride. She's ready for the wedding. But there's somebody out there trying to steal her away. And it's not the eyes of a dove saying, would you come? Would you be mine? Would you promise your hand to me in words? But he's already paid the dowry. And he's got eyes of fire looking at that devil and saying, this is my bride. This is my church. You're trying to steal her from me. Brother, these are eyes of jealousy. My God, somebody say amen. I said, these are eyes of jealousy. These are eyes of anger. These are eyes of revenge. Oh, God, when this fine-looking young man right here and this beautiful young lady sitting beside, I don't know exactly how they courted. But he courted her.
Yeah?
Or, well, he courted her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guarantee you he went in there with doves.
Yeah?
Those eyes were saying, honey. He'll be around one day. I fell in love with my wife a long time ago. We were just youngins. Her dad pastored a church about 12 miles from my dad. My father had church on Wednesday night. Her dad had church on Thursday night. I was faithful to both of them. I went to my father's church on Wednesday night, and I went to her dad's church on Thursday night. And I wasn't the only one. They had some pretty girls in that church. My wife and her cousins. Oh, I'm telling you. And us boys, we couldn't hardly wait for Thursday night. We wanted to go to church so bad. Say amen. Don't you look at me like that. You did say they had them doves eyes. One night on the way to church, Thursday night, was talking about those pretty girls. I'm telling you the truth. I told those other boys on the way to church, I'd tell you something, boys. You can have all of them, but Joan's mine. I mean, I'm 16 years old. I know what I want. I done picked it out. I walked in that church with dove's eyes. But let me tell you something, buddy. You go mess with her tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what you're going to see?
Yeah.
You're going to see eyes like fire. I know that snake becomes a dragon, Brother David. But look what my Jesus has become. Hair. That wool doesn't want every battle. That dove's eyes has turned into eyes of fire. And he's looking at that devil. And he's saying, devil, she's mine. That camp meeting in Ceres, Pennsylvania, she's mine. That Bible school, hey man, that's somewhere down there, done forgot. Export, Pennsylvania, she's mine. That church in Ellison, Mississippi, she's mine. That boy I like to beat to death last night, he's mine. Hey, come on, say man. That young man, that, let me tell you, my God, would somebody say man? Hallelujah! The dove's eyes are gone. And now he's got eyes of jealousy and eyes of anger. And he's saying, you don't touch my beloved. Come on, somebody praise him. There's still victory. I said there's still victory. Look. My God, why don't you praise him? Halfway through the Bible, he's a young man, got a head full of bushy black hair, got dove's eyes. But in my day, in your day, that hair's turned white. And those eyes are eyes of jealousy, eyes of anger, and eyes of vengeance. Not toward you, but toward the one that's trying to steal you away from him. Come on, somebody. One more time. In Song of Solomon, he's a young man trying to entice a woman to say, I'll be your bride. But in Revelation 1, he's a king that's already got a commitment from his bride. He's already paid the dowry. He's already paid the price. And he's got fiery darts shooting out of those eyes looking at Lucifer and said, just touch her.
Glory be to God. Amen.
Just touch her. Just look at her wrong. My God. Satababatatabakaya. Hallelujah. Somebody said, oh, preacher, that devil's about got me down. This thing's getting too hard. Listen, look what the seed of the woman has become. The Bible said we can't preach it all. But the Bible said he had feet like brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Could you hear me tonight? She saw him. When she saw him, his legs were like marble set on sockets of gold. I mean, you can't walk much like that. He's almost immobile. He's just standing there. Got legs. Oh, God. But when she saw him, she said, I saw him. He was walking through the fire. Woo! Come on, somebody say amen. He's had eyes like fire, and he was walking through the fire. He was walking through the fires of hell. He was walking through the fires of sin. Now, come, my God, you better hear me tonight. Come on, devil, set this world on fire. My Jesus, I just walk right through it. Glory be to God. Set this world on fire with your venom of sin. But those feet like brass will just keep on walking. Attack our homes. Attack our churches. Attack our young people. But those feet of brass, they'll just keep on walking through the fires of hell. Rise up against my church devil. Those feet of brass will just keep on walking. But that's not all. I do hope you're ready to have church. Because I'm going to have it with you without you. Because I can't understand what I'm about to tell you. It feels like spizzarinctum running all over me right now just thinking about it. And I don't even know what spizzarinctum is. But I feel it. Pastor. To have feet like fine brass walking through the furnace. Yeah. And in his right hand, yeah, he held the seven stars.
That's right.
Raise your hand, preachers. Where are you? Boy, I'm telling you, it must have been good with old Shadrach. Shadrach, I mean, by the time Shadrach got chucked in the fire, is that word again? By the time Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace, that seed of the woman done grown up enough he could walk in that fire with them.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's all right.
Come on, brother man. He put old Shadrach in there. And by the time Shadrach hit that furnace, Jesus reached out and grabbed him by the hand. They just went walking.
Amen. They didn't even smell like smoke.
That old king looked in there and he looked around at his boys. He said, I know I've been drinking, but I didn't know I'd have this much. That's not in your Bible. That's just some more of that gospel according to my imagination. I didn't know I'd drank that much. He looked at him and said, how many men we cast in that fire? They said, King, I believe it was three. He said, well, my God, what's going on? My bifocals are out of bifocals. Hey, man, because when I look in that fire, I don't count one, two, three, but I count four men walking in that fire. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. My God, somebody tell me, look what the seed of the woman has become. He's now walking through the fire. My God, son, I want to tell you something. You're going to go through the fire, but don't you worry about it, because the seed of the woman has outgrown the serpent of the garden. I want to tell you something, son. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's victory in Jesus. There's power in the blood.
Shut up.
Man, look what the seed of the woman had become by the time they got to Babylon. I need a little bitty preacher. Somebody could sit in the palm of my hand. By the time we get to the book of Daniel, the seed of the woman has become so, the manifestation of Christ has become so powerful that he can walk through the fire with the three Hebrews and come out without even the smell of smoke on them. But look what he's become in Revelation 1. Come on, Brother Frazier, sit down in my hand. I'm scared. Listen to me. I didn't mean to run him off. I doubt I can hold that baby in the palm of my arm. Listen. Did not he tell us, Pastor Eastman, that the pastors of those churches were his stars? And Daniel, the seed of the woman, is walking through the fire holding Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's hand. But in the last days, he's walking through the fire holding me in his hand. You're not walking through the fire, Brother Tom Eastman, and Jesus holding your hand. He's walking through the fire now. And he's holding the stars in the palm of his hand. My God, how can you sit on that pew? I know the serpent becomes a dragon, but look what the seed of the woman has become. He has become such a mighty king that for all of these years he's had, Brother... He's had Brother Heath, and he's had me, and he's had Brother Rob, and he's had you, and he's had you, and he's had Brother Leonard, and come on, and he's had you, son, and he's had every one of us in the palm of his hand. I'm not walking through the fire and him holding my hand. He's walking through the fire, and he's got me in the palm of his hand. I say, amen. And this is the way I believe he's walking. Devil come out against your church. Hell rose up against your church. Planted a heathen in there to give you trouble. Sent a Jezebel in there to try to kill you like you don't do it. He just said, that's all right, boy. When the fires start raging, I'm just got you in the palm of my hand. You're not even what my God. Brother and sister, the fire could not touch Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Christ was walking with them. But his manifestation is even greater. Now, how can the fire touch Brother Spencer when Christ is walking through the fire and Brother Spencer is in the palm of his hand? Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. Yes. Some preacher, listen to me. You told your wife a few days ago, you said, honey, I think I've had about all this mess I can stand. You feel like the pastor talked to me and said, Kenny, if it wasn't for those people, there wouldn't be much to this pastor. Those people are driving me insane. You said, honey, I don't know how much more I can take. You can take it all. You can take anything. You can survive it all. I know the serpent's a dragon. I know you're fighting hell tonight like no generation's ever fought hell. But no generation's ever had him walking through the fire holding us in the palm of his hand either. You say, well, preacher, I'd have liked to have been Shadrach. Not me. I want to be me in these last days. I don't want to be Shadrach holding his hand and walking beside me and me walking. I want to be me. I want to be that last day preacher. I want to be that preacher getting the church ready for the rapture that he's got in the palm of his hand. And he's saying, devil, touch this. Woo! My God, somebody praise him. I feel the Holy Ghost. Give him a hand clap of praise. We're going to preach a little here. Look what the seed of the woman has become. With eyes like fire, feet like brass, that burn as they walked in a furnace with the seven stars in his hand. The Bible said he called those pastors of those churches angels. You should have been at my church tonight. I got up and announced the text of my sermon. And I said, tonight I'm preaching on the subject, I am an angel. You just should have been there. And seen the response I got, especially from my wife. But he said unto the angels of the seven churches, we won't go there tonight. We feel like today, because the serpent has become a dragon, that our voices have been stifled. That we're not able to cry out against sin as we once did. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 2. She heard the gentle voice of her beloved calling to her to wake up. But when John saw him in Revelation, said his voice was like the sound of many waters. 10 million Niagara Falls. Satan wants to put a timid spirit in your mouth because our government says it's all right for men to marry men. And he says, if you preach against homosexuality, you'll go to jail. Come on. Say amen to me.
Amen.
But how can I allow a timid spirit to come into my mouth when the voice of the last day Christ is like the sound of many waters? Loud, powerful, and irresistible. In the Song of Solomon, she said his mouth is most sweet. But John said when he saw him just prior to the rapture, his mouth wasn't dripping honey like a honeycomb. But said out of that mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. How can I be timid with this end-time gospel when out of the end-time Christ's mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword? You be defeated if you want to be, because the snake has become a dragon. But I'm a winner. Because look what the seed of the woman has become. Can I preach to you just a little bit tonight? Out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. This is the same Christ that in Genesis 3:15 he was described as the seed of a woman. Moses did it with a stick. When the time of Moses, he's already gone from the seed of a woman to a stick. Moses did it with a stick. David did it with a sling and a stone. In Moses' day, the seed of a woman had manifested himself to the point of being a stick that could turn into a snake. David did it with a sling and a stone.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, let Moses have his stick. Let David have his sling and his stone. In my hand tonight, I hold the two-edged sword of the Word of God that's coming from the mouth of Christ. Everybody pick up your Bible. Pick up your Bible. Find that middle part between Malachi and Matthew. I'm about to close. I'll pass out one. Well, it's in there somewhere. I don't want you to do damage to your Bible, but maybe you could fold it like this right here. Or at least have the Old Testament side on top. Moses did it with a stick. David did it with a sling and a stone. Jesus and Paul and Peter and James and John did it with a sword that was sharp on one side. Come on. See, now if you just take your Bible and just rip this half off. No, we're not going to. But this is the part that the apostles had.
Yes.
The apostles turned the world upside down preaching from Isaiah.
Yeah. Right.
The apostles turned the world upside down preaching from the Psalm.
Yeah.
Are you with me? I can hear Paul say, the psalmist said. Woo! But I hear Jesus going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he said, now let's everybody turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 6. We're going to read verse 9 and 10. No, he didn't say that, because even in that day, they just had a sword that was sharp on one side. Jesus went in there and he picked up the scroll and he opened it to Isaiah, where it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed. My God, somebody say amen. The disciples went through the country and they said, these men that have turned the world upside down, do you realize tonight that the Apostle Paul and the great work he did never took a text from the book of Revelation?
Yes.
Right. You say he most certainly did. Find it. Paul goes down to Philippi. Ooh, did you see that? The Lord is with me. Paul goes in there before Agrippa. All right, King Agrippa. Hold that Bible. Revelation chapter 20. Paul turned his world upside down and never preached a sermon or took a text from the book of Revelation. You say, well, preacher, I wonder why. I mean, as great preachers he was, surely he could have understood. He didn't have it. I mean, you look at Paul. You look at a ministry Paul had. And all he had to preach was the Old Testament and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's all. And he had to preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost from the Old Testament in the last. Than Peter did. Peter had to preach the Holy Ghost from the book of Joel. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, let me tell you something, mister. I got a two-edged sword. I can preach Pentecost from Joel. I can preach Pentecost from Acts. My God, somebody praise him. Paul, close that book, hold it up, crawl in that pulpit Sunday morning, take you a text from Genesis and preach the hound dog out of it. Crawl back in that pulpit Sunday night, take a text from Revelation, preach heaven now. We have a sharp two-edged sword. Sit around moan and groan if you want to about how the snake's become a dragon.
I ain't worried about the dragon. I'm just looking at what the seed of the woman has become. I gotta close. You say, preacher, I don't know. I just still don't feel like we're a match for this world. I somehow or another, preacher, I just don't know. Well, I read it to you in Revelation 5 where it said he's a lion of the tribe of Judah. But in our text tonight, I saw an angel come down from heaven. He saw Christ having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Satan, I know the snake of the garden has now become the dragon of the last days. But my Christ has become the lion of the tribe of Judah. And when you, Satan, are screaming from the pits of your very own hell, I'll be standing on the mountaintops of glory. Waving a blood-stained banner in the breezes of the Holy Ghost. Shouting power in the blood. And victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. I'm closing this message tonight. I got to get out of here. But I'm telling you, dry up your sob tears. Wipe that frown off your face. For greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Stand with me and raise your hands to heaven tonight. Hallelujah! I want somebody you have felt the heat of the dragon's breath. Look at me. You have felt the heat of the dragon's breath as from those nostrils of fire he's tried to breathe on you. But tonight, as Sister Bonnie plays that organ, I want you to step out from that pew walking down this aisle shouting, look what the seed of the woman has become. Come on here. I've got victory. Defeated. Devil, it's not over. Come on. You lied to me, devil. You told me I couldn't make it, but that preacher told me I could. This is camp meeting, folks. Come on with you. Brother Fraser. Get your hands up, say, dragon, I'm not afraid of you. Look what the seed of the woman has become.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior.
I'm in the palm of His hand.
He's on me, and He bore me when there.
Somebody pray. Put your foot on the devil. Victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever.
two-edged sword. I got a two-edged sword. I got a two-edged sword. Somebody praise him. You got victory tonight. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Somebody tell the devil he's a liar.